From WHYY in Philadelphia, this is The Why. I'm Shai Ben-Yaakov. His bold, reformist agenda has been the subject of national profiles. Now, it looks like Philadelphia District Attorney Larry Krasner's fan club is growing. That's what WHYY reporter Bobby Allen discovered when he was on vacation recently in New Orleans.
I was with a friend of mine who's a local journalist there, and she introduced me to the city council president in New Orleans. And I shook his hand, and he said, "Where are you from?" And I said, "Oh, I live in Philadelphia." And he goes, "Have you heard of Larry Krasner?" And I was kind of taken aback. I was like, "Yes, of course I have. Why?" And he said, "Well, you know, I'm thinking about running for DA, and I find him really inspiring."
After 1 year in office, Krasner, a former defense attorney, has aggressively pursued what he calls a progressive movement, despite often being at odds with some of his own prosecutors and police force. What's even more remarkable is that within a period of only 10 years, Philadelphia voters went from supporting Lynn Abraham, once dubbed the deadliest DA in the nation because of her law and order stance, to Krasner. So why did that happen? And why has Krasner become a model for other progressive DAs across the country? Today's show, 1 year of Krasner.
I want to thank you all for being here.
So Larry Krasner entered a crowded field of candidates for district attorney, primary candidates, and he immediately stood out as the most reform-minded.
It was the public schools and my parents who taught me to believe that we're all equal and that equal treatment is the definition of justice.
Just take us back to that campaign quickly.
So when Larry Krasner, who had been in private practice for 30 years as a civil rights and defense attorney, told his colleagues that he wanted to run for DA, they famously laughed at him. He was the least likely person to ever run for the top prosecutor's office in Philadelphia because he has represented protesters his whole life. He sued the Philadelphia Police Department 75 times. And when he entered the race, very quickly on, his focus was, we want to combat mass incarceration.
We have more men of color in prison, jail, on probation or parole than there were in slavery at the start of the Civil War.
He had a platform of trying to upend a criminal justice system that he portrayed as being too punitive and too replete with racial inequalities. And that message really resonated.
So he wins the campaign somewhat unexpectedly, eventually takes office. What does he do?
So when he gets into office, he quickly releases this memo which outlines some of his big priorities, and it sends a bolt through the city of Philadelphia. He decides that he's no longer going to ask for cash bail for a number of low-level offenses. He said, you know, you shouldn't punish people for the crime of poverty. He tells his assistant district attorneys, there's about 300 of them, that when they're at the sentencing phase of a case, to go to the lower scale of sentencing rather than the high end of the scale.
And what's behind that? Like, why is he making that ask of his DAs?
Krasner has said for a long time as a defense lawyer that for too long the law and order mentality of district attorneys has been throw the book at every defendant.
You know, I think at the level of culture, it is a move towards an individual notion of justice and looking very carefully at individual cases.
DAs for a long time were graded by and ran on their conviction rate and how often they win in trials. And Krasner was trying to push back against that which has happened for so long.
The other thing he does when he takes office is he cleans house. I mean, he fires several longtime members of the office. Why did he do that?
So you've got to remember, so Krasner spent 30 years in what lawyers in Philly call CJC, the Criminal Justice Center. You know, he was there quite a bit. So he sparred in courtrooms with a lot of these assistant district attorneys. And he walks into this office with a lot of enemies looking back at him. Now that he's the top prosecutor, he said, you know what? There's at least 31 of you who are going to lose your jobs and lose your jobs now.
Newly elected district attorney Larry Krasner asking 31 assistant district attorneys to resign Friday.
It was a cold winter day. The local TV cameras were rolling in front of the district attorney's office, and you saw all of these lawyers, these criminal prosecutors for the city of Philadelphia with cardboard boxes full of manila folders of old cases in their possessions, leaving and never coming back.
We vetted judges, we vetted defense lawyers, and we vetted a lot of prosecutors before we came to conclusions that this particular group of people were better served working somewhere else.
And Krasner said, look, I campaigned on changing the culture. Part of changing the culture is getting rid of the old guard, and that's what he did.
A year from now, this is an office that will have a high morale. It's an office that where there will be a lot of enthusiasm for the new mission of the office. People will be excited to come to work in the morning.
What is morale like at the office now?
So Krasner is walking to the office every day knowing that nearly a third of the staff has turned over in his first year. You had 31 firings. You had many people who left in protest to Krasner because they just don't like the guy. You had a number of retirements. 150 people were hired in Krasner's first year, right? Some of them were former public defenders. Some of them just graduated from law school and are inspired by Krasner because they have progressive ideas about how the criminal justice system should be reformed and want to do it from the inside. And you have a lot of what people call baby DAs, right? They're people who are new prosecutors. They barely know the system. You have a lot of elevator interactions. You have a lot of meetings. You have a lot of just sort of like office banter that's kind of tense, people tell me, because you have this old guard, the ones who weren't fired and are still around, up against these new, idealistic, often young assistant district attorneys, and they're just clashes of ideology, clashes in what is a crime and what's not a crime, and just a clash in terms of what prosecutors should be doing every day.
So the DA is supposed to represent victims, but there's been some vocal opposition to Krasner from victims, right?
Yeah, and I talked to one woman, her name's Celeste Shorts, and her brother was shot and killed.
He was unarmed and he was slaughtered, actually.
And I asked her, you know, what do you make of this proposal that Krasner's assistants are to say in open court the cost of incarceration? And she said that's like a slap in the face. I don't think cost should be a part of the calculus when it comes to sort of determining what this offender who killed my family member, what this offender should face.
The judicial system is supposed to charge him according to his actions. And his actions were he shot a man in his back 3 times that was unarmed. That's murder.
Celeste is African American. Most people who are shot and killed in Philadelphia are people of color. The opposition to Krasner really does transcend race and class lines. You find family of victims and you find police officers and the family of police officers who are united in resistance to Krasner. So it's not really a simplistic kind of opposition. There's people of all backgrounds who have a problem with him.
And cops don't like him either for the most part, right?
I mean, John McNesby, who is the president of the police union, Fraternal Order of Police Lodge 5 in Philadelphia, likes making media appearances in which he takes aim at Krasner for forgetting his oath of office, according to McNesby.
He's turned a district attorney's office into the Defender Association. I think he forgot the oath that he had taken to uphold the law and enforce the law in the city. But
Larry Krasner released a so-called secret list of cops who test a lie, that's lying on the stand, and that caused waves around the criminal justice world in Philadelphia because he was basically saying, here's a list of police officers in Philadelphia who I don't trust and who I'm not going to work with.
A year after Larry Krasner took office, he still got some pretty strong support among his base, right?
He does. And among his supporters is John Dye Harrell, who served nearly 20 years in federal prison and campaigned really hard to get Krasner in office. He and some of his friends formed a PAC, a political action committee, that was focused on getting politicians to care more about the needs of the formerly incarcerated.
What he created was a sea of hope inside of penitentiaries. They're looking at Now I have a chance. Now I have people who are in the DA's office who are actually looking for justice.
So Larry Krasner seems to be having a ripple effect. We're seeing DAs pop up here and there in the country who have a similarly reform-minded agenda, right?
That's right. So Krasner got into office chiefly for two reasons: a really impressive grassroots organization, also because of billionaire George Soros, whose political action committee pumped nearly $2 million to get the word out about Krasner. And George Soros has similarly invested in 24 progressive prosecutors around the country. And Krasner, like many of the DA candidates who Soros backs, is against the death penalty. And at Stanford University, David Sklansky, who is a former prosecutor himself and he now studies prosecutors for a living, has been watching Krasner too and has really marveled at the chain reaction that Krasner has caused nationwide.
The wave of reform-minded prosecutors around the country, which seems very far from cresting, is a sign of a fairly broad sense across the ideological spectrum in the country that we need more balance in our system.
Bobby, why is criminal justice reform having such a moment right now?
So there's growing recognition from both Democrats and Republicans that it's a problem that America has the highest incarceration rate in the world. And I think criminal justice reform, which used to be an issue of progressives, has now become an issue that both parties are willing to talk about and really push policies through to try to address. And in Philadelphia, this history is especially fraught because not only are we the biggest poor city in America, but we have one of the highest incarceration rates in the United States. And part of that had to do with district attorneys for a really long time getting elected and being celebrated by voters for putting people in jail, most notably when Lynn Abraham, a former DA of Philadelphia, was known as the deadliest DA in America. Now, it should be noted that in this period, in the early 90s, there were some years where Philadelphia had more than 500 murders in one year. It's one of the most violent periods in Philadelphia's recent history. So Lynn Abraham acquired this moniker of being the deadliest DA in America in the 90s, but it was happening in the backdrop of an extremely violent time. But yeah, I think Larry Krasner is trying to reverse both generations of punitive policies in Philadelphia, but really represents something larger, which is among both parties in both city and the state level, there's a lot of criminal justice reform happening around the country. And that's a nod to, wow, the laws that we passed in the 80s and 90s really are having an effect mostly on African Americans in America and mostly to some of the poorest people in America.
So in the year that he's been in office, what has happened to crime?
So overall crime has dropped and has been dropping for some time, but there was a spike in homicides and a spike in shootings. You know, academics who have studied this have, you know, found that new policy and spikes and drops in crime has a really weak connection. But that said, Krasner is going to be blamed for it. He is the chief law enforcement official. And experts who are watching Krasner carefully say his continued support from the public is going to depend on the homicide rate and on how many shootings are happening in the city. Because whether or not his policies are trickling down to the street level, you know, those are some facts that he's definitely going to have to contend with.
Bobby, thanks for talking to me.
You bet. Thanks, Shai.
And that's it for the show. The Why is produced by me, Annette John Hall, and Alex Stern, with editorial direction from Katie Colinari. Subscribe to the show wherever you get your podcasts. Drop a review and drop a comment for us on Twitter at Shai Ben Yaakov, at Annette JH, or at Alex Ray Stern. We'll be back tomorrow.